I haven't seen the handy dandy little thing that I used that Morris gave me. Passed it on, so
yeah.
Make sure I send that to you at some point, just in case.
Well, I would have faked it till I made it.
All right. Yeah, we got a lot of folks on today, huh?
I started recording so we can get started whenever you guys are ready.
Oh, we're good. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start and call to order the Clark County Veterans Advisory Board on this Thursday afternoon, 14 January 2021. At 2 p.m. Yeah, let's hope this year is better, right? Okay, so Sam, you got the flag to throw up for us, and let's do the Pledge of Allegiance together, please. Oh, there we go. Okay, and ready. Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, God, indivisible, and justice for all.
Yeah, I know that seems painful, but you know what? It's just the right thing to do. In light of a lot of things. Do we have anybody willing to do the invocation, please? Anyone? How about you, Vice Chair? You want to give us a little invocation today?
I was letting others step up.
Doesn't have to be long.
Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, we come before you as grateful service to your word and your name. We ask that you continue to bless our country and the men and women serving our country and the elected leaders that serve our country. We ask that you continue to watch over the board at the county and bless all the veterans, especially those in need of mental stability and care and physical care. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
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 Thanks, Michael. All right, roll call. Bruce, Samantha, I know you two are generally working together on that to make sure you've captured everybody.
Madam Chair, I have the updated information provided by staff, so I am ready to do the roll call of what is presented for 2021.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, 48, Morris Giesler. Alternate Steve Pledgers.
Here.
Post 14, no representation. American Legion Post 44, Darren Wirtz. John Roast. American Legion Post 168, no one present. American Legion Post 176, Michael Gibson. I see here. He was here. Yep, he's here. Les Schweiber.
Here.
American Veterans Post 6, John Lovejoy. Vannis Pratt. DAV Chapter 4, Primary Representative, Board Secretary Bruce Moss, here. Korean War Veterans Association 321, no representation. Marine Corps League 826, Primary, Steve Sledgers.
Here.
Alternate John Stoffel. VFW Post 4278, Primary, Shannon Roberts. Dana Difford. VFW Post 7824, Primary Rep, Board Vice Chair Michael Harding.
Here.
VFW Post 12028, no representation. CVA 512, no representation. Members at large, Board Chair Kelly Jones.
Here.
Kevin Lawson. Clark County staff, Samantha Whitley. Samantha is here.
Sorry. Oh. I was saying it different, Bruce. I don't think she had a chance. She's here.
Okay. Before I introduce our guest, is there anybody else on the board that I did not mention your name, or have you already got your LOI in? Please state it for the record at this time.
I did not get an LOI. I didn't get it in.
All right, Michael.
I didn't get one.
Okay.
Before I'll fill it out.
All right, we got it. Is there anybody else that's here that I'm noticing? I see Daniel Ward from PIC is here. The staff from the Clark County Veteran Assistance Center, Jen Entire and Judy Russell. I have a call-in user. We have our guest from the Danny Deffert's here. We also have our guest from the VA. Would you please state your name?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Darwin Goodspeed. I am the director of the VA Portland Healthcare System.
Okay. Thank you, Darwin. We'll get to you as soon as we move along through our agenda. Is there anybody else who I'm seeing on our list or whose name that I've missed? I also see Janet Schnook from Clark County is here as well.
Dave Daly, 1228. I have the paperwork. I'll get it to Samantha this week.
All right. Thank you, Dave. I've got one more name I can see up there, but I think that's it. Madam Chair,
yeah.
We definitely have enough people for a quorum, so we'll hear some more names as we move along for today's meeting.
Awesome.
Thank you,
thanks, Bruce. All right, let's move right along on the agenda. Let's do the approval of December 10th, 2020 meeting minutes. Are there any motions for changes, deletions, corrections?
Madam Chair, in the meeting minutes, I need to recuse myself from those minutes because I did provide a draft copy to staff and assisting them since we had that recording snafu happen last month, so I can't vote on them.
Okay, got it. Do I have a motion to approve as written?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, approval of the December 10th, 2020 meeting minutes has been approved. And moving right along, we have Mr. Darwin Goodspeed, who's the director of the Portland VA, is going to provide us with some timely updates, I'm sure, and some good information on COVID, hopefully. I know we're all anxious. I'm anxious to get my vaccine anyway. I'll just leave it at me. So, all right, without any further ado.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you all. And thanks for having this slide up. I do have 95,000 veterans in between Southwest Washington and Oregon that want to come in and get a vaccine. So we're trying to figure out a way to do this stepwise. There's absolutely no way I can do everyone that wants to be vaccinated all at once. So we have started vaccinating veterans, and we started with our highest priority group, patients in nursing homes, patients on dialysis, patients in our residential treatment programs, many of our cancer patients, many of our transplant patients. So we've worked through those. Now we're working on people that are over age 75. A big challenge we have is trying to call, I have about 90 people trying to call veterans and get them scheduled, but veterans aren't answering their phone. I think a lot of it is they're seeing unknown caller and skipping. So we are asking people to answer their phone. Another thing that we have done is we have pulled email addresses for veterans that gave us an email address over the age of 75, and we're sending them an email with a direct scheduling option where they can click on a link and go to a secure website and register for a vaccine. It is a placeholder. Once you indicate the date and time you want, you'll get an email sent back to you that confirms your appointment. We are very quickly hoping to step down to the population over age 65. That is our biggest cohort. That's our Vietnam era veterans. And we have about 45,000 veterans that we're going to try to get in. We do have a plan to get every veteran that wants to be vaccinated in the next 12 weeks, which means that we have to do this organized. I can't have everyone showing up at our vaccines. We are going to have a day of service on January 18th, which is Martin Luther King Day, on our Vancouver campus and our Portland campus. We are hoping to vaccinate about 1,100 people. Emails have gone out to veterans over age 75. so that they can reserve a spot for those. When I got in this morning, we had almost 800 of those slots already filled. So we're looking to open up the schedule for Tuesday and Wednesday to get those veterans in. I am hoping that by about Wednesday next week, we will have all of the ones over 75 that want to be scheduled, and we will pivot to those over 65. We will continue to call people, and we will continue to send out emails to the groups as their time comes up. So starting early next week, we will send an email to those over 70. And then as soon as we feel like we have a bolus of them, then we'll go to the folks that are 69. I have a lot of people calling the facility, and it's overwhelming our phones. We just don't have the capacity when 95,000 people want to call and ask about the vaccine. We're trying to do this as organized as we can. If you're not in that over 75 age group right now, just sit tight. I will get to you. I just need a little bit of time to work through that population. Please share with your members and constituents not to show up at the vaccine centers. They're only we can only give the vaccine by appointment only. It is stored at minus 70 degrees. We have to let it come to room temperature before we reconstitute it. And once we reconstitute it, it's only good for a very short period of time. So we don't have a lot of extra vaccine laying around. I do not want to waste a single dose. As of this morning, we have administered over 6,275 vaccines. So we are stepping out quickly. Our aggressive plan at looking at veterans starting on Monday and going forward, we will be doing over at least 1,000 veterans every day. And we're hoping to get to the 1,250, 1,300 range very quickly. But 1,000 veterans a day, every day, starting on the 18th. And we're going to go 6 days a week. We're going to take Sundays off. And we are working as aggressively as we can. I have talked a lot, so I'll pause there and see if you have any questions for me.
Just real quick, you said by the 18th, beginning the 18th of January, your goal is to get how many vaccines?
1,000.
1,000, okay.
Darren, this is Les Shriver. I'm 87. I have not gotten any notifications.
Do you have an email on file with us?
Yes.
Les, let me take down your name and I'll make sure someone calls you. What's the best number to call you?
408-316-8654.
Okay, you'll get a call. I'll wait to call you until this meeting's over. How's that? I won't have them call you during the meeting.
That's fine. No, I signed up this morning for a call, but, you know, it's supposed to be like 3 o'clock.
Did you get the email and click on the link?
To sign up, yes.
Oh, if you got the email and you clicked on the link and you reserved a spot?
No, it just said call. I'd get a call at 3 o'clock.
I'll get someone to call you.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions? Yes, John.
Yes, I was wondering when you say I think the VA has my email on file. It's kind of hard to know if they do, but I did get an email from VA News, so I'm assuming maybe you have it on file.
Yep.
Anyway, the question is, when you say email, are you also including My Healthy Vet, sending secure message out as well?
We are looking at how to do that through My Healthy Vet. But most we can pull emails out of My Healthy Vet, and that's typically how we use it. It's just instead of using My Healthy Vet, sending the email to the broader group.
Okay, so you say so maybe somewhere in My Healthy Vet, there's a spot where I put my email. Is that right? I didn't know that. But
no, some people do have their email in MyHealthyVet. Do you get, if you do secure messaging, you should get an email that says you have a secure message to go look at, and that's how.
Yes, you're absolutely right. I forgot that I do get that message. Hey, you got a message in secure messaging. So,
yep, that's how we have your email.
That's a good thing to know. Thank you.
Other questions?
Yes, Bruce Moss here. What about the veterans who are going through their private providers to get notification of a COVID-19 and they decide that they're not going to do it with the VA, but through that private provider?
Yep. When they go to the, when you go anywhere to get the vaccine, they give you a CDC vaccine card. The only thing we ask is you hang on to that card, bring it to your next primary care appointment so we can update your VA record that you have received your vaccine. Any other questions I can answer for you?
One more question. So you said that you're going to try to get all veterans in the next 12 weeks?
All veterans that want to, yes. I can't make them come in, but in 12 weeks, I'm going to try to get everyone that wants to.
Will you have enough vaccine to go around for that?
Right now, nationally, they have told me that if I can get vaccine in arms, they will commit to keeping my supply line going.
Okay, because I know my 65th birthday is in, I think, 10 weeks from now. So, okay, thank you.
We'll catch you, John. Any other questions?
I had a quick question because I thought I understood that there were two vaccines that were needed. So when somebody gets called and they get scheduled for their first one, then at that appointment is when you schedule and make the timing for the second one?
Exactly. When you come get your vaccine, part of the process is you showed up your vaccine and they will schedule you for your next one before you leave. So that's part of the complicating factor. I'm trying to vaccinate 95,000 veterans twice.
Is the Pfizer vaccine the only one that the VA anticipates getting, or in the next 12 weeks, could it be another one that's maybe just a one-shot deal, or do we know that?
I do know that. I started on Pfizer because we have minus 70 freezers. So we will only get Pfizer through the VA system until I get through all of my folks. Smaller facilities that do not have the capability to store at minus 70 are getting the Moderna. No other vaccine is out there in the VA now. So in the coming months, coming years, there may be other. But right now, I'm committed to getting Pfizer only.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I appreciate you guys making time on your schedule for me. Please, your best place for information is our website. And Dan does send out stuff. My public affairs officer does send out stuff on to our email groups. That's the best way to get information. Calling our facility just really clogs up the lines for people who need to get through to make appointments or to communicate with their providers. I appreciate you guys so much, and thanks for your patience. I am going to do my level best to reach every single one of you in the next 12 weeks. And if you'd like me to come back and give you an update, just coordinate with my public affairs officer, and I'll be glad to join.
Thank you.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much for taking time out. I know you guys are all busy there. And I will just put one caveat out there for everybody that's on the call. For those older veterans that you know and that you're in maybe contact with on a regular basis, you know, let's do a battle buddy check and let's see if they've received an email or a phone call, and let's let them know what this process is, because many of them might be sitting out there having no clue. So, you know, I think we should do our due diligence in making sure we reach out to those that we do know that fall in that category, and let's do a push. Let's make sure they know it's available for them now and they need to make an appointment. If we need to help them do that, let's do that. So again, appreciate you joining us today, Mr. Goodspeed. Great information. I know you guys have a Well, it's a big job there. I have many friends that work at the Portland VA, and I'm just very appreciative of everything you guys are trying to do. I get your updates from Dan, and I know it's a big task, but I feel pretty comfortable with the Portland VA as opposed to some of the other issues that have been going on out there with my friends in different states. So kudos to the Portland VA and the work that you and your staff are doing there to make sure you're taking care of our veterans. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'm going to leave the meeting now. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. All righty. Moving right along. Mike Gibson, you're up. Wake up.
I don't recall any appeals for last month, so that's it.
You know, that's such an easy job for you. We have to change that now that you're retired. I think you need to put more work in. You're supposed to be busier when you're retired. All right. Policies and procedures. This is something for this year we need to talk about. I sent an email to Dixie just inquiring as to whether she's going to continue with us or if somebody else is going to represent the post. But regardless, we need somebody to head the committees or the policies and procedure committee. So I need a volunteer. Otherwise, I get to appoint one. So you can either volunteer or be voluntold. Anybody? I see everybody's trying to look busy on here.
Trying to take notes.
All right, so I don't have any volunteers.
How much time does this entail, Kelly?
Maybe a once a month meeting, if that. It just depends on whether the center or any of us deem that we need to review the policies and procedures and make any changes. So what we do have coming up is we would like to reconsider the housing portion under our policies and procedures and maybe make some recommendations and try to make that a little bit more streamlined than I guess what we feel it has been. And, you know, just to make some recommendations and put that together. We normally meet, it's probably no more than an hour tops, depending on what the topic is. Sometimes it can be done over email. So,
I'll do it.
Tanya?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Are you a member?
Oh, I guess I'm not on the board. I didn't realize I had to be on the board. Sorry.
Well, Tanya, VFW 7824 alternate position is now open.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Bruce.
So are we going to make that
official
change and official there? And when we do that, then Tanya, I've got your name for policies and procedures. Okay. And we'll be coordinating that with Judy and Sharon and the rest of them at the center just to. And the housing thing, we should probably get on here pretty soon. So, but it's not a every month thing or whatever. So no worries on time. It will not suck up a lot of your time.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right. No, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Bruce, you'll take care of the appointment for Tanya on the LOI?
Michael Harding will have to do that.
Oh, Michael. Okay. Michael, you got that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, Madam Chair, I got it.
Did you have something to say too as well? I cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say thank you to Tanya for stepping up.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So now that that's done, let's move on to Samantha with the contractor reports and fund report update.
Thank you. I sent out all of the reports for November to the board. And the Veterans Assistance Center saw 42 veterans in November and had services totaling $22,992. The majority of that was in the rent assistance or housing assistance category. They served 40 men, 9 women veterans at the center. They had 183 visits for essentials and food. And they had 287 volunteer hours worth $7,098 last month. Oh, 2 months ago, November. The free clinic saw one veteran in, that should say November. Sorry about that. I also noticed that I put 2020 on the agenda that I sent out. So I'm getting up to speed here soon, I promise. There was only the one veteran who received an exam and x-rays, and then he was referred to another agency who could provide a root canal for him at no cost to him. And so the value was $1,155. They billed us $2,010, but they're still underspent for the whole year on what their contract was. We contracted about $25,000, I think, to the dental program. And at the end of December, they only billed about $12,000, so roughly half of their contract this year. And then the fund, the revenue and expense report, showed revenue of $44,490 in November with expenses of $100,487. And that leaves us with a balance of $839,327. So next month, I will have the December reports for you as well as the full 2020 year-end report to review. Does anybody have any questions?
I do, Sam. You said the free clinic only billed us roughly $12,000 for the year, but they're allocated $25,000?
Correct.
Is that typical where there's such a disparity in the billed versus the amount they're allocated?
Well, they had about 3 months this year that they saw no veterans at all and only referred them out to Medical Teams International because they kind of had to shut down their clinic or they limited the dental care because of COVID, unfortunately.
Right, and that's what my next question was going to be, is whether or not any of the services, the shortage of the billing amount was due to COVID and how much of that was because of that. So thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, and the dental will be meeting with us next month to give us an update too. So if you want to, you know, more specific questions about how all of that turned out or how many got sent somewhere else or whatever, you can ask it then. Okay. Is that it? No other questions for Sam? So we'll move on to the Veterans Assistance Center update.
Okie dokie. I'll start out and then I'll turn it over to Sharon after I'm finished. So December, we had a lot of help. CMAC donated $500 to us for whatever we wanted to use it for. We wound up using it to buy food to stock our pantry. Trader Joe's brought 3 bags of groceries. We actually, we helped 62 families with toys and 16 families with Christmas dinners. We delivered some were picked up. We had people that wanted to help every day. Anytime that we had deliveries to make, someone was there to help us make it. We got toys from the Reserve Center, and Harold Rains arranged for us to get toys for tots. We did have a few toys left over that we knew we could not save until next year because they were paints or chalk or something like that. We donated those art supplies to Randall Children's Hospital. We also got from Scott's Miracle-Gro, they brought us a box of gift cards. Gift cards from like Fred Meyer, Walmart, places like that. The estimated value of those gift cards is approximately $10,000. So this is the second year that they've done that. And we're so grateful because that enables us to stretch our fund money further. And it enables us to, if someone doesn't qualify for the fund, maybe they've been here only 10 months instead of 11, we're able to give them a gasoline card if they need to make a medical appointment or something, if they don't qualify for, say the residency or something like that, we're still able to help them. So We try to not turn away any veteran or any veteran family. If we can help them out of any pot of money that we have, that's what we do. So we want to thank all of you, because we know without all of you and all of your service organizations, we wouldn't be where we are today. We wouldn't be able to help as many vets as we're helping. So thank you to all of you and all of your organizations. So I think Sharon has some information for you. Oh, there's one more thing. I forgot one more person. Susan Oberst brought in $25 gift certificates for turkeys and hams. And she also at Christmas brought gift cards, toys for kids, and about 40 food boxes to help us with our Christmas meals. So we want to thank her and her husband, Steve, and their family. And we appreciate everyone who donated. We had a lady who walked up to the door anonymously. She wouldn't let us take her name. She walked up to the door and said, "I love what you guys do. Here's $100 cash." So we've been blessed. So thank you, anyone that you've sent to us, any of you that have donated, any of your organizations that have donated. There's too many to name every single one, but we totally appreciate each and every one of you. So thank you.
Judy, Susan is a classmate of mine from Columbia River High School, so I'm glad that she was able to do that, her and her husband.
Yeah, she's quite a gal. So Sharon, I think you have some things to talk about.
Yes, I do. And I just want to piggyback off of what Judy said and thank all of you for everything that you guys do for us. We had a thing come up that kind of has to do with the emergency declaration about providing rental assistance to veterans who need it during this time. And the question was brought up if we could include utilities in that as well. Some of our vets are over income for utility assistance, but not housing. They're not turning off anyone's utilities. And it's the same as the rent. The rental moratorium has been extended to 31st. But we have some that are over income for utilities. And we would like to know, because right now we're going to have to do that as an appeal since the emergency declaration does not cover utilities. And that's something that we would like to bring to y'all to see if we can include utilities in that emergency declaration.
That's a good question. So they're over income for utilities, but not on rent. I mean, how many are we talking that fall in this category recently?
Recently, we probably had a handful. Right. We also, can we pay with a disconnect notice, because there isn't one at the moment. Right now, like I said, we'll have to do that as an appeal because it's not covered under the emergency declaration. I can't understand you, sorry. It's different for every client. I mean, some people can pay a portion of their utility. Some people can't. Some people qualify for the LIHEAP program, which it's mandatory that they have to go to LIHEAP right now. But if their cut or they're at 125% as to we are 200% for utilities. So we're having that question come up a little bit more now that it's wintertime and people are concerned that the PUD is going to stop the moratorium at some point. So it's just a question we wanted to bring up to the board.
Well,
I mean, we don't mind it. I mean, it's up to y'all. We have, like I said, the housing into the emergency declaration only and not utilities.
Well, I guess my concern, I mean, I don't have a problem with it because obviously it defeats the purpose of we're trying to keep a roof over their head, but not power on. But if we start adding utilities, then what else do we have to start adding? So this sounds like, again, it's kind of a critical thing that we need to sit down and discuss and look at and make the necessary changes so we're not having to continue going back and forth. As I think Samantha was spot on the last time, is we don't want to be, you know, going back and forth to the county legislators asking for these changes. We need to get it right to begin with, I guess. All right, everybody who's not muted, mute. Like Langsdorf, thank you, just muted. Appreciate that. Everybody who hasn't hit their mute button, please mute, so we can listen to each other. All right, Sharon, go ahead.
I agree. We don't want to set a precedent on stuff like this, but housing and utilities is pretty much, in my opinion, one of the most important things that we do. And it is wintertime. And
yeah,
we do have a heating grant that we've been using, and that's starting to dwindle down a little bit. Because we've been using it as opposed to filing an appeal for some of these guys. You know, some of these guys who are on a HUD bash, they get some of them get utility vouchers to help pay. But the only one, I mean, if they're on a HUD, some of them that get HUD bash don't qualify for utility assistance, and some do. There's a lot of bureaucracy, I guess, in that one. And I can give you more information on that if needed. We're just really worried about, because all these utilities that have, if they haven't been able to pay, they're going to have to pay just like the rent. And I would love to have this something that we talk about at the policies and procedures meeting.
Also, I'd like to add something, if I may. The millions of dollars that Clark PUD got in COVID money to assist with utilities, that ended at the end of the year. So they said they don't have any more money to give out. It hasn't been extended. So that's what they told us last week.
Okay. So, and as we've got it right now, our emergency declaration, it just says rental assistance. I don't suppose we could finagle that and include utilities for rentals. Samantha, do you know? I mean, are we going to have to go back and ask for a change to that specific section in the policies and procedures, or can we finagle it somehow? And I don't mean finagle as in doing something wrong. I just mean it says rental assistance, but that could mean a lot of different things to people, not just rent, but deposits and other things.
Right. I think if we're adding a different type of assistance to our policies under that emergency declaration, that it would need to be approved by the council.
Okay.
And I will say too that the right now the electricity shutoff moratorium goes through the end of March, and I've talked to Clark Public Utilities about how they're planning to handle that when the moratorium is over, and they said they're a great organization to work with. They said they would just contact people and start making payment plans. They're not just going to run around and shut everybody off at the beginning of April, but we can certainly look at adding this to the policy as well.
Okay, that sounds good. And sooner rather than later. So Tanya, would you be available here in the near future so that we can go ahead and kick off looking at this housing section in here and the emergency part to try to make it a little bit easier for the center to work with? And Sharon, in the meantime, they can do appeals, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm available anytime.
Okay, so after this meeting, I'll send out an email to Sharon, you guys at the center, and Samantha and Tanya. And I don't know, Sam, did you have a list of everybody who was on the previous PNP committee with Dixie?
Sure, I can do that.
Okay, if you could send that to me or whatever, and then we'll do something. And I don't mean, Sam, would you be able to host, or the center, could somebody host so that we don't have a time frame?
Of course, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay, well, let's do that sooner rather than later, and let's look at the housing part in particular. And Tanya and the center, I mean, you guys ought to be well versed in how all this works. So let's try to come up with something that doesn't hamstring you guys. Every time we put something in, then it seems like, you know, something else comes up that maybe we should have thought about. I don't know. Maybe that's on me. I'll take the hit. But I mean, that just makes sense. We probably shouldn't have just said rental assistance. We should have said housing assistance. And it just might be, you know, the change of a word can make a difference in the PNP. So let's plan to do that. Let's get it done sooner rather than later, and we can get it to the county legislators, and then hopefully get something back. But in the meantime, if the appeals process is, you know, if it's working and we can do it that way, then, and we're only talking a handful of people, then maybe we'll be okay until we can get this done and solidified.
That would be great.
Okay. So awesome. All right. Is that it for the center, or any other updates or anything else?
That's all I have.
Okay. Well, as usual, thanks for everything you guys are doing there. I know it's been tough not being able to do face-to-face, and, you know, hopefully with the vaccines and everything else, we get back to some semblance of what normal used to look like for us, and then we can start, you know, touching base face-to-face with our veterans, because I often know that that's easier than trying to do the phone or the email thing or whatever. It just makes a huge difference, so I appreciate all the workarounds that you guys have done, and just, you know what, hang in there. We'll get through it.
Yes, we will. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Any old business we need to tend to? If not, how about any new business that people might have? No? Open forum. Anybody have anything for the good of the board or our veterans or anybody else?
I was just going to throw out there, I know when the director was speaking who they're helping, I've got my first appointment for my vaccine tomorrow. When I was to get my physical therapy appointment this Tuesday, my PT guy told me, he's like, oh, go make an appointment to get your vaccine. They're letting everybody do it. So I'm not saying go out and tell everybody to do that, but if you're going in to the doctor anyway, ask them if they can schedule it, because I have both of mine already scheduled.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've been told flat out by employees and otherwise there that they're, just like he said, doing the 75 and then the 60 and so on, or 65 or whatever. So I figured I probably wouldn't get mine for a while, but if he's trying to do the next 12 weeks, then I don't know. But I know other veterans who have said they've gotten their vaccine and their mind. No, well, you know, it's who you know.
Yeah. Well, that's my other friend. Carla, I call her Crazy Carla. It's not nice, but she just texted me today and said that they got her appointments too, and she's younger than I am. So I don't know.
I think a lot of it has to do with if you have underlying conditions that are in your records at the VA.
That could be. Yeah, that could be.
Hmm. Oh, that means I'm too healthy. Darn, what did I do wrong? No, I'm okay with that, trust me. Yes.
So, Kelly.
Yes.
I spoke with Roberta Giesler, and she said Morris isn't...
I'm sure.
Morris isn't doing too well. So I thought maybe, you know, we might want to reach out to him and check on him. So.
Oh, okay. Thanks for bringing that up. I wasn't aware, and I saw that he was the primary, back to being the primary for one of the organizations. And I wondered about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said he's in early stages of, she believes it's Alzheimer's.
Oh.
So she's very concerned about him. And I've reached out, so in case anyone else wants to.
Oh, no, absolutely. Thanks, Judy.
Of course.
I hate to hear that.
Me too.
All right. Anybody else? Yeah. If, you know, reaching out and just letting Morris know that we're thinking about him, we care about him, and we hope that, you know, whatever's going on, if it is that, that's never a good thing. But, you know, let's keep him in our thoughts and make sure we reach out and let him know that we're thinking about it. Makes a huge difference. Okay, Michael, you had something?
Mike had.
I can't hear him. Can anybody hear him?
No, he's not on. Madam Chair, why don't I just go ahead and just kind of echo as to what Judy has said, and some of you have already heard this from me. You know, we do have a lot of other veterans out there that are going through the impacts of the COVID-19 illness at this time. And we also have, I've also have heard of maybe one or two veterans that have already passed away due to the illness. But like I said, there's not really much more or names or things I can say at this time. But like you said, we need to do a battle buddy check, make sure everybody's okay during this downtime. Our VSOs are not in a meeting mode at this time, and some are trying to start getting something going again as we start phasing into reopening processes again. So just everybody hang on and look out after each other, and hopefully we'll get through this in the coming months. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Michael, we couldn't hear you when you were talking, so I'm not sure what's going on your end. You show mute on mine. Where'd he go?
You cut him off.
No, he's still there. It's still, your microphone still shows muted on my end, Michael. All right, he is incommunicado. So.
Maybe you can type it into chat.
I can mute people, but I can't unmute them. Sorry, I can't help you.
Okay, he's having audio issues. All right, Michael, if you can hear me, if you've got something that you need to put out, just you know, blast it out over email or chat or whatever as we're coming to the close here. But if it's something that needs to be shared, then you could do it those two ways. I wanted to thank Judy for the gifts. Oh, okay. There you go. So Judy, he's thanking you for the gifts.
He's most welcome. We helped a veteran family that he knew, and we helped them with Christmas. So that's awesome. What we do, you know, that's what we do. And thanks for bringing them to our attention, Michael.
That's awesome. Glad to hear it. Okay.
I had one more thing.
Anything else?
Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you to our post 7824 VFW. Between the VFW and PIC, we got 24 Christmas boxes out to different veteran families. So
Sure.
I'm happy about that.
What I feel is my personal duty is to serve veterans in any way that I can.
Okay.
There you go.
Hello, Michael.
We lost him completely.
Lost him again. And I have one more other thing. I have the information on that World War II vet who needs help with his roof. We can talk after this about that. I'm not sure how you want to do that, Keller.
Well, I mean, I turned it over to Jeff, and he was supposed to coordinate with Home Depot at Jensen Beach, but I know that they had suspended the program, so I don't know at what point. I mean, suspended it for the holidays because there would be no way. So I'll touch base with him again and see what he's been able to do. But other than that, I know Justin's not going to get to it. He just had his truck stolen the other day and a lot of his tools, and so he's not in a great mood. So we'll see what Jeff's got and if he was able to pull anything together. Michael, are you still trying to communicate with us? Okay. if anybody has anything that didn't get put out for whatever reason today, you know, you can always email us and put it out that way so that all the members can see and any of the guests who were on there. If nobody has anything else.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Samantha. Hey, Kelly.
All right. So, as usual, Michael objects to our meeting. So, but do I have a motion to adjourn? Oh my God. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Bruce Moss seconds.
Okay. All those in favor? Yay. Aye. Anybody opposed other than our vice chair? If not, then we will see everybody on our next meeting in February, and we will have the free dental clinic speaking to us. And hopefully anybody else that has anything to put out. So thanks everybody for everything you're doing, and hopefully everybody's able to get their vaccine soon and that they're staying safe. All right, that's a wrap, because I don't know what's going on now.
There you go.
Okay, take care everybody.
Thank you everyone.
Thank you
all.